The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello.
I don't know what sound just came out of my throat at the end there. It was like a weird rattle. Oh, it's early, Shirley. I hope there's a woman listening named Shirley. No one names their kids Shirley anymore. It's a great name. Damn, it's early. It's 7:15 over on the West Coast, and we're doing this early today because Andrew's got to hit the road, and he's going to visit his family, be a good uncle, brother, son, Father's Day. You get it. Noah, you almost like didn't wake up for today because your phone, as you said earlier, committed suicide yesterday. Let's talk about this because it is bizarre when your phone decides to just stop. Your world also decides to stop. Like, it's, you don't even like, it's unbelievable how crippling and how much a phone malfunction can ruin your life. What happened?
Well, I dropped it a couple of days ago, so the home screen stopped working. So I had to.
Did you drop it from a tall building, or did it leap from a parking garage? Did it really actually try to commit suicide? You know when you like drop your phone and it hits your foot and then it skids and you're like, ah! And it almost goes into the subway. You're like, oh my god, I almost kicked my phone. Okay, so you dropped it and then. It's an iPhone, right?
Yeah, I have an iPhone, or had. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yesterday I was using it and it died. You know, like the battery ran out.
What are we
out.
Talking? What number we got? Because I don't even know what number I'm on. I'm guessing mine is like a fucking
ancient.
What are we at? What's the latest?
I think the latest is the latest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have an 11. I think I do have an 11.
I remember you recently got a new one, but mine was a 7.
What? Oh, so you were still pressing the button?
Yeah.
To get back to the home screen?
Yeah.
Oh, girl. No, I missed that button. I stayed on that button for a while. I felt like when I got my new phone, it was like, girl, get rid of the button. But you were still on the button. My mom is the only person that still has that button. I loved the button, but yes, you became dependent on it. And now, so what stopped working first?
The battery was just running out all the time.
Right. So it was always having to be plugged in.
Yeah. It was on self-destruct mode. It was like, you need a new phone.
It tells you it needs help. It leaves you signs. It's crying for help and we ignore it. Andrew, famously, like his phone in the Cayman Islands was so disgusting. First of all, he is too cool for a case, which you can't be too cool for a case. I think he still doesn't use a case. And the case is made for people like Andrew Collin. I mean, that drop things that don't really treat me too, by the way. I am also someone who doesn't treat things very well, and I throw them and I drop them. And did I tell you about the rings I damaged?
Oh, yeah, you did.
This is a prime example. I don't think I talked about it on the show because I was so scared my mom might hear it. When I went to the iHeartRadio Awards, speaking of, this is why we can't have nice things. When you get styled for these things, your stylists get loaned out stuff that they need to then return. I got 8 rings given to me, one on each finger that isn't my thumb. And I was like bedazzled with these gold cool rings, and they were like, these are really expensive, don't lose them. And I was like, I will not. They are tight, and like, thank you for saying that, because I probably would if you didn't say that, but like, cool. So I was like, don't lose them. I clapped so much that night that I damaged, they got the rings back. One of the rings broke, and I knew that, and I was like, that's going to be costly because something snapped off it. I don't even know if it was a diamond. I don't know if it was like, I didn't even look at the rings closely, but something snapped off one of the rings. But then I was so clap heavy the whole night that they wrote me back and they go, what happened to these? Like, was there some kind of accident? It reminded me again of Seinfeld when he left his suitcase in a meeting with a recorder in it so he could hear his coworkers talk about him. And he gets the, he goes back in to get his suitcase and he listens to the recording to see if his coworkers are talking shit about him. It's so funny. And he hears the recording and it's like, "Hey John, could you move that chair?" "Oh God." And then you hear and everyone's like, "What could that have been? What happened?" It's just like, oh, they just like dropped the suitcase or something. Like it was just nothing. But literally the way George was like, what could have happened in that recording? It sounded so like that's how my stylists were like, "What did you do? Like, did someone else get a hold of these rings? Because I returned them. I didn't even look at them. I just put them in this little purse that I returned everything with." And they were like, "What happened to these rings? Were you assaulted? Did you throw them in a rock tumbler?" And the truth is I clapped too much and I damaged all of them. And I got the text message from them. They're like my two of my good friends. And they were like, "We're so sorry. Like, there's going to be a fee to undamage these." And I was like, I swallowed I just steeled myself. And I was like, you know what? I don't know. I have no concept of how much these rings are. You know, you hear things on the red carpet that are like, it's millions of dollars. Like, I don't know what kind of world, and I don't know jewelry. I don't care about jewelry. It literally could have been from H&M and I wouldn't, like, I mean, I could tell it was like weighty good stuff and it looked great, but I don't have a good eye for that stuff. If I ever get married, give me a cubic zirconia. I don't care. I like will not know. I was like prepared for it to be massive, like amount of money that's like, okay, I could have bought a Tesla. Like that's what that was. It wasn't that much money, but I'll tell you what, it was a fucking lot of money. It wasn't $30,000, but it wasn't not $30,000. It was a lot of money. I don't even say how much it was because my mom would go, "Oh God, Nikki, why did you clap?" Because I was having fun. I'm not going to say the amount. She's going to assume it's more if she ever hears this. I don't know why I'm so scared of my mom hearing it. My mom just hates when I have to spend money and anything. But I told my stylists were so sad. They were like, "Nikki, we're so sorry you have to pay this much." And I was like, "Girls, this is a great lesson. I am glad that this happened because someday I will wear millions of dollars of jewelry. And if I didn't know not to clap in this lesson, this cheaper lesson, I would not have learned that lesson. And I might owe way more money than I do. Like this might happen at the Academy Awards because I'm going to be a clappy bitch that night. But now I know to clap like Nicole Kidman in the famous GIF where she's clapping her palms and not her fingers. That's why she's doing that, because she's wearing a bunch of loaner jewelry. She doesn't want to dent up. And so I had to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have these rings that I don't own repaired. And thankfully the lesson was I had enough money to cover up. So that was like, I was so grateful for that. Lucky, lucky, lucky. And also I learned a cheaper lesson than I would eventually learn down the road. You have to look at everything in life this way of like, I'm glad it happened because it's saving me down the road from something either more devastating, more detrimental. I don't know how to spin this for like literally everything in your life, but that was a test for me because I really could have gotten in my head about that. And granted, yeah, it did. I'm lucky that it didn't devastate me. We'd be having a different conversation now if it was like the last money in my account, which I know some people sometimes run into that where they owe all they have. And bitch, you should have learned your lesson earlier when you made a cheap mistake. I'm just kidding. It was a lesson, but I literally did. I wrote them and my stylists were like, "We can't even believe this outlook." Like they were so scared to even tell me. And I was like, "Girls, this is the greatest lesson. This is a great day." I was like, "I'm thankful you're saving me." I literally looked at it like I'm saving thousands of dollars in the future. That's how I had to look at it. But the phone thing, Andrew, he needs to get a case. Noah, did you have a case on your phone?
I did have a case.
Okay.
I mean, well, it was just old.
It's just old. It was ready to go. You dropped it. It's like an old person breaking their hip. You like gently like... A gentle fall can like be the thing that like it's time to go. It's time to say goodbye to Nana.
Right.
That way you said your goodbyes to your phone. It is sad though, because you have so much in there that you need to back up. Like the cloud. I haven't been storing stuff on the cloud since, you know, 1992.
Here's what I'm grateful for. So I haven't imported any of my images, my photos or videos from my phone in the 5 years that I've had it. For some reason that morning, I was like, I'm just going to figure out how to do this.
What?
And I imported the 20,000 photos and videos
what?
Onto my hard drive.
I mean, that is cosmic.
And then I mean, it died.
Granted,
that,
your
that
phone
night.
Was on its last breaths. And it was, but you didn't know it was going to die that day.
I had no idea.
I keep all of my phones because I never back them up. And they're just photo albums. Yet, do I ever charge up those photo albums and go
never.
Through them? Nary a time. Never. There are pictures that I go, I would love that picture as a TBT, but it's in some phone that's in some bin that's in some storage container with a bunch of other bullshit. Like, it's next. All my phones are like next to bunion correctors I bought over the years and like vape pens. Like, one of those bins you just throw a bunch of trash in when you move. You know, different tangled necklaces. We got to get Andrew in here. I'm trying to think of anything. So I'm going on Bill Maher, as you know, on Friday. And he wrote me yesterday. I've been working with his producers so nice because they are like really hands-on. I want to know everything. You know, I want to throw jokes at them and be like, is this good? Is this not good? Producer Michelle is incredible. Segment producers are... I didn't know the backbone of these shows. Like, I work in the industry, and I was like, still took me a while to figure out. Like, I told her I could go out there and just like drool and mumble, and based on how you know produce me, I will still kill. That's how good they are. My outfit for Bill Maher is so chic. It's so good. It's like perfect. I wrote my stylist. I was like, I want it to be like sophisticated, like I'm smart, but like also like. Like I'm cool and like not, and that I don't really belong being there, but like I'm trying to be there, but not trying to. Like I gave them this whole thing and we nailed it. I'm so excited about my outfit, which is, you know, when you feel good, when you're dressed for the job, dress for the job you want. And the job I want is to be the opening guest on Real Time with Bill Maher. And, but anyway, he wrote me later on in the day and said, and was just like, you know, I'm so excited to have you. Wrote this whole thing of like, these are the topics I'd be interested in talking to you about. This is kind of like where I want to go. And you know, kind of reiterated what I had already figured, which I already figured based on how I was produced. But like, you don't need to treat this like a Conan or a late night thing where it's like joke. Like, I just get to go, as long as I just go out there and sit and have like a real present conversation where I'm actually listening to him and I'm responding with my thoughts in the moment. I can't fuck it up. So that's just so freeing that you don't have to have anything really prepared, which I do, you know, but all my punchlines, if they happen, they're going to happen in real time. There's no like, I got to get this one in. But he did say he might ask me about, because we're going to talk about cancel culture. He might ask me about Louis. And I've given my like opinion, I think, on podcasts, but that's always a safe space. I really have to articulate how I feel about it for Bill Maher because, you know, he really doesn't like he really angers the woke crowd. You know, he's been canceled before, politically incorrect. He like does not like people getting canceled. I once was like pro canceling people. Like, I also have been anti-canceling. Like, I'm all over the place, but I also acknowledge that I don't know what I am. But the Louis thing, I do have opinions. I'm trying to get them in a really, I'm trying to get them in a place where they are airtight. My defense of not canceling him, if that's the case, if that's what I'm going to say, you don't even know that's what I'm going to say. And my opinion about what happened with him. And the thing is, I have to do my research a little bit today on, because that's the thing on these guys that have been canceled. Everyone just assumes you know what happened, right? Like Louis, he jerked off in front of girls. And then there's always a thing of, did he block the door? Did he prevent them from leaving? I know that that's a big deal. I don't really, he did not block the door apparently from both the girls and him. But these are details I need to figure out. For instance, Armie Hammer. I want everyone to listen up right now. The Armie Hammer thing, when you hear a joke about Armie Hammer, don't go, ha ha, cannibalism, so funny, the text. That's not why we're canceling Armie Hammer, or that's why, not why he should be, we should be angry with him. don't kink shame. I don't care if a guy says he wants to eat someone's liver. He branded a girl when she didn't want to be branded. That could be some gray area because she was tied up and I don't know what he thought she wanted. Like, that is just bad BDSM practice on his part. If he branded a girl and he thought she wanted it when she was tied up because she had a ball gag in her mouth and stuff, like, there can be you need safe words. So he's a bad person if he did that. And she apparently did not want it. So fuck you, Army Hammer, for that. But the big thing is, you need to watch his ex-girlfriend talk about how he raped her. That is the one that it is no longer a joke about, oh, he wants to eat her arm, cannibalism, Army Hammer. He's not a monster because of that. He's a monster if what his ex-girlfriend said about how he broke up with her. You need to go look at the details of that. I'm not going to get into it because it's so fucking harrowing, but it's wild. And yes, you can rape your girlfriend for 4 hours, by the way. Go look into it. It's disturbing. I'm sorry to always end things with on like a bad note. It's 7:15 in the morning. Andrew's got to get on a plane. Let's get him in here. Yes. And watch me on Bill Maher because it might be my last TV appearance based on what I say about Louis, because people do not like to when people defend not canceling people. Bottom line, I just don't. You'll see my opinion on Friday when I solidify it, because I don't know what it is yet. All right, let's get Andrew in here. Oh, Andrew, how's it going? How you holding down the fort? How'd you sleep?
First of all, I love your robe. I love a
Thank
robe.
Thank you.
Is it comfy?
Yeah, I woke up. I'm not night sweating so much. It's actually not. It's very coarse. It's a very heavy robe. Nice hotel, heavy robe. But I'm wearing it because...
You don't have your multicolored one?
I didn't bring any sleep clothes. No, oh. I should have brought that thing. I love that thing. Robes are so essential. I definitely enjoy them. I don't know what I'm doing. I have to get my nails done. What's...
I had... It was funny last night. I wanted to get a good night's sleep. I wasn't really feeling that well, so I went and got ZQL with
what'd you,
the
what'd
girlfriend.
You eat?
Huh?
What did What's you that? Eat that made you feel not well?
I just didn't feel well earlier in the day. Like, had like a cold of some sort. Oh, I don't know. I was like stuffy. And
eating ass?
I wish. So I went to and got ZQL. We both took it.
You discovered ZQL at your girlfriend's a few weeks ago, and you were like, Nikki, like, I found out what could get me to sleep, and like, I didn't wake up through the night, because Andrew has a thing where he wakes up throughout the night. I don't relate to that as a person with sleep issues, but I'm sure a lot of people do. You wake up throughout the night and you can't get back to sleep, or?
Yeah, so I wake up around 2 a.m. and I stay up usually for 2.5 hours, and I do a lot of searching, not soul, just on the internet, and
nothing. Your body, I gotta be honest with you, I think your body knows now, like 2 a.m. you get to go, you get this little hit of dopamine. And so you're waking up, you know, when you like wake up early on Christmas morning when you're a kid, or like Jewish holiday kid things, and you wake up early and you're like, oh my God, so excited. Or you wake up early, you know, like your body is excited about that dopamine hit. Like sometimes I wake up early if I'm like, have a good meal, like a breakfast I'm going to, you know, like, so you gotta get out of the habit of doing. You cannot go on your phone at 2 a.m. I know you're never going to do that because you're an impulsive little boy, but that's why your body's waking up. It's not
I'm a big boy.
No, you're impulsive, and you aren't good at, you need to put in a safe at night or something. So okay,
right.
You got
right.
ZQL
so
from your girlfriend, but you told me the next day like it was some miracle drug. Like, I understand melatonin because it's like a natural supplement, but ZQL is like, you know, that's scissorp, dude. Like, you're messing with, like...
Yeah, scissorp. Actually, ZQL has...
And I love how you...
Gummies.
Now I know why you said you had a little cold, so you got an excuse to take some ZQL.
No, that's
That's why
true.
You prefaced
Stop
it with cold, because you knew...
into it. I didn't feel well. It
you
wasn't
wanted to chug that scissorp because you took it.
The race.
I gave you... I admonished you the first time you took it. I go, don't take that stuff unless you're actually sick. And so this time you had to preface it with, I was a little sick. So
Not
I went
true.
And got this.
I hate when you do this. I hate when you don't. I know what I did. I was feeling shitty before. It was an after effect.
Okay.
So
you went
I
and
had
got the Zeke.
I had a cold. And so I took the ZQL. She took the ZQL. We passed out. And I didn't sleep well throughout the night. Actually, I was kind of delirious. And then I woke up at 7, still half asleep. She was half asleep. I'm leaving for 6 days. So we decided, hey, maybe we should try to have sex. But neither one of us wanted to do the work because we were both still very groggy from the Z-Quil.
Yeah, you're just...
So I go, let's have sex sideways like sloths, where we just kind of just, you know, tap, just dip it in. And she yes. kept laughing because she looked at my face and I was literally half asleep. Still probably more asleep than I was throughout the night. And she's dying laughing at my face. I can't stay hard. I go, here, just take the toy. I'm going to go shower. You come. She goes, no, I want you to watch me. I go, you don't want to see my face. I threw the toy at her. I took a shower. I came out. She was dying laughing. We got coffee. Great morning. And so I warmed her up for the toy. I was a human fluffer for a robot, and I feel great about it. So
my morning. I love that story. I couldn't help but pull up a clip of my own stand-up from 2013.
Jeez. Did you even listen to this story?
Lazy. I just... Oh, I give up there after a couple seconds. If I'm up there, he's already given up.
So we're getting to it.
Like, now what?
Now what?
That's when you break out the old side sex. Have you done that? Or are you just, it's the laziest. Ugh, so gross. It's how you finish. It definitely is. No effort involved. You always pat yourself on the back afterwards. In the post-sex rap, like, what was that last thing we did? That was wild. We should contact Kama Sutra and let them know. Oh, you mean the two dead cows on the side of the road? That old classic.
Yeah. Simpsons did it. And by Simpsons, I mean Nikki Glaser did it, 2013. Side sex is so funny. And obviously I wasn't a good enough comedian to like actually explore the premise there more than just a couple dumb lines. I was a young comic. But yeah, side sex is the laziest because you literally just, it's like you're cuddling and then he puts himself into, it's like you're spooning and then you just put a penis in you.
Yes.
And no, there is no muscular effort that is needed. And then you just kind of, you just kind of like go like that, like you just kind of wiggle, like you thrash about. Like a dying animal.
Yeah, you're like a dying fish on a boat. Yeah.
I wasn't listening to you. Can you repeat the part about, because our listeners probably, you know, got distracted as well at some points to the podcast. It helps to go back. You then took, so you had the side sex. She looked at your face. You were asleep. And then
I mean, something about
a shower.
I was asleep. So then she kept laughing at me. She couldn't stay horny because she looked over and I looked like a dead bear. Just like,
hold on. Were like, you behind her or like, were you like having missionary side?
No, side of her. So she was kind of like still turned a little bit to me where she
turned
could still
behind.
See me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She could still
so
look a little
her.
Bit over her shoulder.
You
say, yeah, I'm behind her.
You said it was dog. You're behind her. It wasn't missionary. Okay.
No, it was not. It was side saddle. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So then what happened with the shower? Sorry.
So then she kept laughing and I wasn't like,
how often, by the way, do you have to retell stories to me? I mean, we have to do it to each other. I love that you're not insulted right now. Thank you for not being insulted. It's bad host etiquette to not have listened to your story, but I apologize. So anyway, how did the shower come into it?
What is going on? I thought you were laughing at the story. Were you just laughing that you...
No, I was laughing at the story. I was laughing at her seeing your face sleeping because that was the last thing I kind of heard you say.
So long story short, she was laughing at my face because I was literally still like I was sleep fucking. And I couldn't... The more she laughed, so we tried to scissor fuck.
So then you were laughing, right?
So I started laughing. I go, look, I'm not going to come. You're probably not going to come because you're looking at my face with crusty eyes. Like, or I have crusty eyes. Here, just take the toy. Take the toy. I'll go shower. You come. It'll be great. And she goes, no, I want you to look at me. I go, you don't want to look at me. I'm going to fucking shower. You're going to come. I like was like very like, yeah, like you're going to do this.
I get it.
I'm going to do that.
Like, yeah.
You're
my...
Like, yeah, and
that's
really
hot.
Into it.
I'm like, you don't do it, then I'm going to be mad at you. Yeah, that's so hot.
So
oh my
I
God.
Went and showered, and I came out 10 minutes later, and she's smiling ear to ear. She's like, I got it done.
I love the the BDSM type, or like the sub-dom relationship that you two have, where you are just doing it so you don't have to, like, you're too lazy. Like, you're like, you fucking do this. And like, and she's like, what? Like, when guys are like lazy, they, but that's hot to be like told what to do and be like, it to change your tone and be like, you're going to fucking do, you're going to come and I'm going to take a shower. And if you don't, if you haven't come by the time I get out of the shower, I'm going to, it's, you don't even want to know what's going to happen. Yesterday I was watching a porn where a guy, it was, everything was perfect about it. The guy was like training his girlfriend to be a whore, you know, like he was like making her take like on bigger obstacles and bigger toys.
Yeah.
It was wipe out. It was that wipe come out of your eye. It's a new thing coming to wipe out. But it was so funny, Andrew. I should have recorded it. The funny thing is, I even after saying the other day that when I see funny things on porn, I never think to like capture them because I'm not in a funny state of mind. I should have done it. I need to like remember for the next time. Cause this guy, I should have screen recorded and just recorded it for you. Cause this guy is everything's perfect about it. I love porn where the guy is really vocal. You guys, seriously, if you ever find porn where the guy is like telling the girl, and like, you're such a slut, like talking a lot, please send it to me because literally mic the men. But this guy, you could tell that his girlfriend was the one that was like in on it, like the one that was like wanting it to be like, because I've told guys before, hey, like they'll be fingering me. I'm like, tell me I can't come. And they're like, what? And I'm like, tell me I can't come until you say I can. And they're like, don't come. And I'm like, but like mean it. And I'm like, but also try to make me come and like make me beg for it. This guy definitely had the same talk with his girlfriend before. She was the one that orchestrated this because she's like, he goes, you better not come. And she's like, and he's doing stuff to her. It's just like a shot from behind. It's one of those amateur shots, you know, where he's like putting stuff in her butt. And he's like, you better not come. And she goes, what if I do? He goes, you better ask me before you come. Don't come before asking me. And she goes, what if I do? And he just goes, then you don't want to know. Like it was the most, it was like yes, the softest. Like, it was so, he just goes, you don't even want to know. And it was, I literally saw the girl's pussy dry up as he said it, because I could tell, like I've put myself in those situations where I want the guy to do something and they just can't stick it. It's not because they're not sexy to me or whatever. It's just like that thing I want recreated. Just the guy is not the type of guy to really put fear in me that he's going to hurt me if I don't ask before. I don't want to be hurt if I come and don't ask for it, but I want there to be a consequence that I somehow I go, wow, this guy's wild. He might hurt me. Like I want to kind of question it, but not really. Again, when you practice these things, you need to have safe words. You need, because a lot of times no's mean like yes in porn. I can't wait to have a boyfriend to come up with all of these tactics, but don't enter into this world of like, submissive, dominate.
Yes. And if you're threatening someone, you need a consequence. You can't keep it open. You got to have something.
This is the way the guy should have said it. So let's do a role play. Okay. Andrew.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're the girl, Becky. I don't know why you're Becky. If you don't ask to come and you come, you have to ask me before you come. You have to ask me.
But what if I come first?
Honestly, Becky, I don't even think you want to entertain that because of what I have in store if you come without asking.
But what
did you hear
store?
My tone? It's really scary, my tone. I still don't know what I'm going to do to Becky, but my tone suggests that you're going to, like, you know, when a mom goes, a mom doesn't even have a plan for getting grounded, like grounding you, but she'll come up with one. That's what you tell me. You'll lose screen time. I'll take away your phone for you.
No Reddit for that would you be for a whole week.
Okay, literally, I might use that in my act. I'm going to write it down to have a guy dominate me by saying no screen time, which is a Rachel Feinstein line. She once told Sherrod Small, because Sherrod was being annoying one night at the Cellar, and she was started turning into a mom, and she goes, Sherrod, I'm going to take away your screen time if you don't stop this. And it was so funny. So I would have to ask Rachel if I could use the screen time, because that's the funniest fucking line. But what I was going to say at the end of that is good job retelling that story for me after I tried to derail it by proving to you that I thought of a joke before you. And also good job at making your girlfriend feel kind of scared so you could get a good shower in. Were you like horny in the shower?
What was
when
funny,
you got out and she came? Was there?
The
I bet you were horny
because I was wide awake, and I was like,
and I bet you were turned on by yourself for being so dominant.
A little bit. Yeah, it was.
I just realized based on that role play though that I'd be a good. I think I could get into like. I think I would like to be in a relationship. I don't know if this is possible where I could be the dominant one at times. And be like, but I think it's more about I would need to bring in another girl in our relationship, and I would have to have, I wouldn't want to dominate a guy. I'd want to dominate a girl with a guy that like my guy. So I think that could be in my future. Who knows? I know that people are like, Nikki, stop talking about sex. We get it. But I'm still figuring this all out. It's so interesting to me. Oh, and I just, the one thing I want to read before we get to the news, I did hornily when I was going through porn yesterday, screenshot one of the titles that I was watching, and it's so this title was I had to screenshot. He torture my virging, okay, virging, okay, V-I-R-G-I-N-G. He torture my virging pussy until my shaking orgasm. Fingering pink clean pussy, 4K sexy moans.
I mean,
how many views does this video have with that title?
Wait, let me look.
I don't
let
know, 6.1 million. 84%.
Let me look at it one more time. I mean, this guy's the like Mark Twain of let me see again.
He torture my virgin pussy until my shaking orgasm.
Does
fingering pink clean
virgin?
Pussy 4,000 sexy moans. Does that mean, oh, 4K means maybe the like,
yes,
quality.
That's the degree.
Video.
The
okay. Why would you throw 4K at the end and then write sexy moans after 4K sexy moans? I mean, it sounds like a bot made this. And that's probably what you guys, will you please? I want our listeners to send us in hilarious porn titles. If you can muster the strength to screenshot while you're jerking off to porn and the funniest porn titles, I need to hear. But it's just,
and
that
like
one really
silly
got me.
Puns. Like, I want like descriptive.
No,
kind
I,
of stuff.
I want, and I want them to be like poorly written. That's like my favorite is like me shaking orgasm, verging. My virgin pussy.
They meant to say virgin. Yeah.
Someone definitely dictated that, like my mom sending a text. My shaking virgin pussy, virgin. Like she said virgin, but it just corrected to virgin, and my mom sent it. My mom actually wrote that title when she was on her way to Aldi to check the discount
Trader
food
Joe's,
aisle.
If your dad's
Nikki,
listening.
I got my virgin pussy wet 4K sexy moans. Let's get to the news. Seaweed salad.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh man, what a great week of shows! We're gonna have an amazing weekend. You're gonna have all the swells out there. You're gonna have so much fun. I really do feel that for all of you. I really do hope it happens. Okay,
gonna have swells. I might go surfing.
Really?
Yeah, I'll let you know. But
I hope you do.
Thanks.
With Pete Lee?
Yeah, Pete asked me to go, and I'm like, I go ha 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 ha. I go, Pete, that's so funny that you would ask me. Never, like never. And he goes, I go, my dad might want to. My dad's in town. He goes, I would love to take your dad surfing. I go, who are you? You're like that guy, again, on Seinfeld. There's Elaine's dating this guy who wants to take Jerry's parents around New York. And she's like, why does he want to hang out with Jerry's parents so much? It's that same thing where I was like, if you want, so I'm going to ask my dad, I'm going to call my dad after this podcast and be like, do you want to go surfing? And then I might go just watch them.
You can do it. You're a great swimmer, but you know. I mean, depend.
But I've never snowboarded, and I have never been able to stand up on a skateboard by myself, so I'm not good at that. But all right,
a man was busted.
Let's get to the news.
A man was busted for brazenly masturbating in broad daylight in Times Square, New York City, in front of the American Eagle store. So New York.
Oh,
back,
I know that store.
I guess. Yeah, yeah. That's the most probably most people possible. Walk around that store, walk around that area during the day. You're really gonna,
especially now. Isn't New York open again? Like,
yeah,
isn't New York and LA?
Yeah.
By the way, LA was supposed to open on June 15th. I got here on June 16th. No, 15th. Yesterday was the 16th. People are still wearing masks inside. Like, there's different. Everyone's doing their own thing. I mean, I'm glad the nation's open, but I'm guessing. Okay, this guy took his penis out and listen.
He was a homeless guy.
He was probably homeless. Yeah,
he was homeless. He lives in a shelter in Brooklyn. So the only thing I think is interesting is, did he make a plan to take the two trains into the city to jerk off in the most popular? You know what I mean? Like, was this like a day for him? Because if that's the case, it's hilarious. Because he's
and
like,
you gotta know that you're gonna get busted. So he knows it, this isn't gonna last very long. Okay, well, yeah, this man clearly has a lot of mental issues, and I don't know. I wonder. I bet it was a woman who told him to stop. I guarantee you, men, I feel like, turn a blind eye to men doing gross things with their penises in New York City. As I found, it's usually some like old New York woman being like, "You put that away. No one wants to see that, Leroy." Or like, you know, Leroy sounds like a black name. I was actually picturing a white person when I said that, by the way. But like, I feel like women are the ones to. I would probably go, "Stop that." Like, I would be the one, whereas I think men are kind of like...
Have you never seen a guy jerking off in a...
Are you kidding me? I have a punch card. I've seen five. I get two more and I get one free.
You get a smoothie?
No, the thing is, you don't say anything because it's, again, I was just talking about on the opening about how Bill Maher's going to ask me about the Louis stuff. We're really... Noah, you always pick stories that align with things I don't even know I'm going to talk about.
It's not just me. I'm giving Andrew credit for this, too. It's a team effort.
I know, but like, you both chose these stories and like didn't know I was going to talk about my feelings about Louis. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so Bill Maher wants to talk to me about Louis to catch you up, Andrew. I love that.
Did you bring up what you're going to say yet, or are you thinking about it?
No, I said to him, I go, actually, I think I would love to talk. He asked my permission, like, would that be okay? And I go, actually, I think I'm ready to be canceled because me and Bill Maher, you know, the woke, I didn't finish this off before. Woke people do not like Bill Maher. They think like there's like a lot of although he's liberal, they think that he is liberals, some wokes, there are a lot of people that don't like Bill Maher and think he's just a white man saying like wanting to do what he wants. And he had a thing last week where he's like, I really liked his end of the show piece last week because he was talking about how everything like how. You know, Black Lives Matter, it was everything's so important to keep fighting racism, but to act like we haven't made strides is insane. Like, to act like we are in the same place we were, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, like, it's getting better. There's still so, he's like, don't stop the effort, but it doesn't, we're not going like mission accomplished, but we have to acknowledge that it has gotten better and that is good. We can't keep just piling on of like, you know, it's not enough, yes, but it doesn't mean we haven't accomplished things. Where then he made a great point of goes, he goes, guess what's not getting better? Guess what's never getting better? The climate, our threat to democracy, like homelessness in LA and New York. Like, there are things that aren't getting better and there are no significant like moments to go, okay, wow, that wouldn't have happened 2 years ago. You know, he even says the cast of Friends, I loved this point. He said the cast of Friends on their reunion, that whole thing they did for HBO Max, he goes, it looked out of place because never, if you took in a show and said, we are going to have six white people living together with mostly white people around them as a sitcom, you'd get laughed out of the room, out of any room you pitched that in. Now, then that was not, you know, that was 25 years ago. And now that would not fly because we like to see diversity on TV and it's a good thing that we have that. But that is a change that we have to acknowledge. And, but then there's other things like, you know, I just loved when you said like climate change, like that's our environment is only getting worse. Yet we never, it's not like we never talk about that, but that is something that like, you know, we're not going to be around long enough to fix racism more if we don't put our efforts to other things, which I feel guilty sometimes because I'm such a vegan animal rights advocate and I don't advocate for human rights as much as animal ones because I can't do everything. Anyway, I'm going to talk about Louis. Brings us back to the jerking off thing. When you're a woman that has a penis taken out in front of you in a situation where you're alone with the man, or even if he's like close to you with his penis out, and I've done a bit about this, you think that you'll be able to go, because I've seen a penis on the train that was meant for me. A guy was standing in front of me. I was sitting on the train. It was packed in. He was a casual looking man. Didn't look like a dirty person that would take out his penis. All of a sudden, a man, his penis is in my face, like a foot from my face. And I see it out. And it almost looks like it's out of his pants in a way that he doesn't know it's out. Like it's a mistake. And I thought it was a tattered belt at first. And then I moved. And then the belt had girth. Like, this is all a bit I used to do. But my point is, like, I got out my phone slowly because I wanted to take a picture of it. And but then I spooked him and he ran away. But I would never be someone to be like, put your dick away, because you don't know if that guy, what he's going to do with his dick. If a guy is brazen enough to take his penis out, what else is he capable of? You don't know. So in Times Square, I would be brazen enough. I would think I'd be brazen enough because I'm protected by people around me. But also in New York City, I was on a train with people around me and I did not feel protected, because people just kind of, in New York, you're on your own, bitch. That's kind of the you know.
Also, I would never be caught dead in American Eagle. I'll tell you that.
I mean, it's...
I'm not going to be shopping there.
What was it, 1997? Jerking off in American in front of American Eagle?
What is he, jerking off
Andrew, wait one second.
The Abercrombie models?
Before... go in Hollister. It's a little darker. You can get away
with it. Why does he have zinc on his dick?
Andrew... Oh, that's hilarious. Like a lifeguard?
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a person jerking off in New York City?
Yeah. Yes, I have, and I didn't say anything. I walked by, and I
was it a homeless person?
Yeah, it was homeless. I've never seen like a regular, like everyday normal person with their dick out. I mean, that would be
no.
Wild.
Have
I
you seen people- an everyday normal person with their dick out? Like a guy that you wouldn't suspect. Like it didn't make sense, but it was like he was sneakily doing it.
I've seen a lot. Yes, I have.
It's a power thing. It's not about them wanting to. They want you to see it and they want you to freak out and be frozen. They love that. They love you to be like, huh?
Yeah.
And then they jerk off to your scaredness. It's not like, because guys, the people always go, just jerk off alone. Why do you need a girl? It's like, it's not about jerking off. It's about the power that they feel over people that are stunned into like shock. Mm-hmm. And that's what they get off on. And that's why what Louis did was not, it tells me more than he's just a perv that likes to jerk off in front of women and make them watch. We all have our own thing. I like guys to tell me I can't come. It's a weird thing. Louis has to have that need met in a way that the woman can be consenting. But part of Louis's fetish is the non-consent, unfortunately. And that's the problem. Like, people go, why can't this person just do it in a safe way? And it's like, no, if he gets consent, it takes... Like that guy going, you don't even want to know what happened. It's going to feel like that to him if he sets up a scenario where someone watches him. He needs that element of, I'm scared, I'm guessing.
I'm also scared that
Louis is going to hear me talk about him on Bill Maher and reach out to me.
Well, you could ask for consent and get consent, but that still, in his
takes
special,
away, if you're,
in his special, he talks about it. He goes, next time I'll ask more than once. Like, essentially, like, still putting the onus almost on the victim still somehow. But
he essentially is saying, I asked once.
While still, like, forcing consent, which sounds kind of crazy. And it sounds, you
absolutely
know what I mean?
But, you can. Yep.
So when it's like, you got a yes, but it was in a situation where you're definitely going to get a yes. Like,
asking a woman, I understand, like, what are you supposed to do? Send a telegram? I'm about to ask you a question that might make you uncomfortable. Are you okay with that? Okay, let me ask the first part. Can I please, are you good with that part? Like, how much do we have to ask? I get that there, but the question, can I masturbate in front of you, when taken out of context in a situation where two girls are in your hotel room and it's not a sexy situation and it's bluntly asked, is almost as bad as taking out your penis. It's like, it puts you into a state of shock of like, oh, okay. And you might say yes to something you don't want. And then there's a gray area of like, he did ask, but what, and they might've said, yeah, whatever it is. I don't know the exact story, but I need to watch a special before I go on that show. Next story.
Next story, here it comes. Okay, here's what experts say that you text when you want to rekindle an old hookup. So this isn't like someone you dated, it's just like an old hookup, especially post-COVID now. So here's a few lines that this expert says is a good
idea.
Hold on,
I thought this was a study at first, the way you were saying it. So experts say if you want to rekindle an old hookup, this is what you should do? Is that what we're reading?
Yes. Okay. Yes, correct. Okay, so it's been a minute. How have you been? I've been thinking about you. It'd be fun to get together soon. I see you chefing on IG. Guess it took a year to lock down for you to learn how to cook. I feel a little vulnerable here, but I'm curious to revisit things between us, and I'm wondering how you feel about it.
This is hilarious because... what if someone was listening to our podcast and was just like, okay, I'm going to write down whatever he says. And they said, that's all of those things you said sound like something I would send in one block, like all of those things together. Like I always overwrite every, yeah, yeah, like you, because yeah, you overthink, and I, it's, I can you, never keep it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
the last thing you sent to that guy, remember?
Yeah.
Yes. I was like, it's a lot.
And you were like,
it's
Nikki, it's too much. It's a lot. And I go, why? And you're like, it's a lot. And I was like, listen, it was just like when Joe Rogan said, I'm a lot. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, you're just a lot. And I was like, I don't know what that means. It was like when Dave Attell told me I was defensive in 2006 and I didn't understand what that word meant. I literally didn't know what defensive meant. It was so embarrassing. I met Dave Attell and it was 2005 at the Insomniac Tour. I was with my best friend, Catherine. To make this very short, we went to go see Dane Cook perform live. And it was Dane Cook, Dave Attell, Sean Rouse, Greg Giraldo. They were all doing a thing at the House of Blues. Turned out it was a TV taping. We didn't know that. They asked us to be seat fillers because we're two hot chicks. They put us in the second row. We got invited to the VIP party later. I had just started doing comedy. My friend Catherine went up to all the comics and was like, Nikki just started comedy. It was so embarrassing. I told her, I was like, do not mention it. I don't want to, like, these guys do not respect anyone that's been doing comedy for like a year. Like, just let's play it cool. And I do remember, though, that later in the night I got drunk and I knew that Sarah Silverman, who I was obsessed with at the time, she was like my Taylor Swift at the time. I knew she dated Dave Attell. And so I was like so excited to be in his presence, as like Dave Attell is just like my favorite. And I think he was drinking at the time. So he was not the kind person that he is now, but he was a little bit volatile when he was drinking, I believe, because he was not that nice to me, because he was like, oh, you want to be Sarah Silverman? Oh, really? Like he was doing, and he goes, say something funny then. Say one funny thing. I haven't heard you say one funny thing all night. We were like hanging out. And I was like, I don't know what to say. What do you want? Like, I don't have, like, do you want me to tell a joke? And he was like, whoa, this one's defensive. So defensive. And I go, I'm not being defensive. I don't know what defensive even, I didn't know what defensive meant. And my friend Catherine had to take me aside and be like, you literally are, like, it means that you just, like, have to defend. Like, I didn't know what it meant. That's a long way to say that, yeah.
DM you wrote that guy?
Oh, I know. You being like, Nikki, no. It's just funny because I draft all of the texts that I send guys that I'm worried about. Girls, does anyone else out there do that? When you have a weighty text to send someone, you make a draft in your notes. So I have a note. I have literally a note. I put all of them together because I kept going through my phone. It's the same place I keep my stand-up. So every time before I would go on stage, I would always go through my notes to be like, where's the last joke I wrote, you know? And so I started seeing all these drafts of texts, which when you look at them a month later, you're like, this is so dumb. Why was I so worried about this text? So I decided to lump them all into one thing. And this is so funny. I have to add more because there's been so many more. So this is from 2019, this should be your December. Song.
You should get lyrics from this.
You're so right. Okay, well, let's try to find a lyric in it. So this is text to boys. I put them all in one place because they were all over. Hey, you. Hey, you and I talked about me possibly coming by tonight. What do you think? Okay, that was all based on the book I was reading, because that guy did make plans with me and would always like be like, hey, let's hang out on Friday. And then like Friday would come and like I wouldn't hear from him. So that was my attempt. Then there was another one. I can't read this one because it's like, yes, that happened. You and I were not in a committed relationship at the time. It wasn't something I felt comfortable telling you, and I'm sorry for how this must make you feel. Then there's another one. These are all just different boys, but I put them all in the same note. I had the best time. You're hilarious and made me feel so comfortable. Thank you. Ugh.
Thank you.
With an exclamation mark. Hey, you had mentioned hanging out this weekend. I get back in town tomorrow, late afternoon. What do you think? Like, these are all, Noah probably wrote most of these, to be honest with you. And then, yeah.
I love these because, like, I was telling Noah when we were talking about this story, I was like, all you should write is, hey, I want to come and I need a body. Like, that's what we're essentially saying with all these
things. The other night I shared with you something that I texted someone who I used to sleep with. And I was very blunt like that. And I want to know what you think I did wrong in that scenario.
I just think it's not, I don't think you did anything wrong. It's not you.
I literally said.
And I know that sounds cheesy, but it's not you.
I said, it was like, hey, good to see you. And I go, hi, I don't know why we're not banging. I said, loved hanging, but I also feel like we should be sleeping together or at least doing hand stuff, because why not? And then he wrote a whole thing of like, yeah, I'd be down. And I go, tonight? And then he didn't write back to that. I said, yeah, he talked about some sex toy thing that we used to talk about using. I said, get that thing up and running again because I want to get slutty with you. And then I said something hot and then got nothing back. And then he wrote back the next day, like, sorry, I did it. And I just, I essentially did that. I go, I want to come and I expect you to just, you don't even have to use your dick. I know you might be worried that your dick might not work, like whatever. Like,
yes.
It's been a while since we fooled around. So maybe he's worried about performance. And I go, just plug it in and make me come. And then he still won't. So I think that's a separate issue, right?
Yes, I think.
What did I do wrong there? Did I write too
much? You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. The only thing that I would think that you did wrong there is not show your value. But
value? I want to come. I know my value.
If you go to a guy, I'm just telling you, if I got a message like, hey, we don't have to fuck, we could just do finger stuff. It sounds
I don't
want to
fuck him, though. That's my value, is I don't want to fuck.
I'm telling you, though, but how someone can read it. He doesn't know
got
that.
It.
I'm not saying that you are.
And the way I said it, I was like, we don't have to. We can just do this. Like, it's like, I'll do anything.
I'll do anything you want. Just come over. It's like, I think you need to, with this guy, I think you got to go, look, are we ever going to fuck in the future? Do you want to fuck in the future? Yes or no? Just tell me so I don't have to stop with this playing around games or whatever.
And I just think you just need. I don't want to fuck. I just want to be tied up and have him use toys on me. I mean, that's all I want. Okay. I told him that.
I know, but if he's not doing it, then just whatever. It's not. It's not you.
This is a great transition into our sports moment.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
LeBron James gets tied up and told not to come. Oh no, different.
I mean,
sport.
He's probably into some weird stuff. No doubt.
Coca-Cola's shares dropped $4 billion after Cristiano Ronaldo, who's a very famous soccer player, moved two Coke bottles out of view and picked up the water bottle before Portugal's match against Hungary. So essentially, he's like, look, I'm ripped. I have a great body. I care about my health. This isn't it. Water's for me. And it
I thought this was all because he is a Pepsi guy. I literally thought he was endorsed by Pepsi, and so he had to get the Coke products because he has a million logos behind him. He goes Agua, and so he goes water over Coke, and then Coca-Cola's shares dropped
$4 billion because Ronaldo. See, the thing is like we're in America, like Tom Brady, for instance, has like 30 million followers, and he's like
I understand what he means.
300 million followers on Instagram.
I don't think, though, that people are not going to drink Coke because he moved that. I don't think that that's I think why do things drop? Because if it dropped that quickly, it's not like Coke actually people stopped buying Coke that day.
Yes,
it's like it's what they anticipate is going to happen. But like none of this makes sense to me of like when things drop and go up. It's like the vibe. It's like the stock market reads the vibe. It's not actually money. Yeah. They're not reading like the receipts. Because there's no way that they saw these transactions. This happened so fast. It's like they foresee that Coke has a bad rep now.
Yes.
Which good. Fuck Coke. Do you know that Coke doesn't need to advertise? They're number one, like by far, but they keep advertising just to keep up their brand. Like they just need you to remind you that they're a brand that you should associate with like Americana and like just not even America. It's global now, but like that they don't need to advertise. They don't need to convince you to drink Coke. They just do it so that Coke is a part of your, like you see it everywhere and that you can't avoid it.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's not to sell it to you. It's just to be like, hey,
Coke
it's
should
here.
Have to have a skull on the side of the cup. You know what I mean? Or a side on the, like.
Well, we were talking yesterday about all the things
have
that
Coke
cause.
Killed. Soda's killed millions
so
of people.
So many. Coke is. If you're drinking Coke as anything more than like a treat.
I had a Diet Mountain Dew yesterday. So.
Well, diet soda, whatever. Like no one. If you think diet soda is going to make you skinny, you are so one of the dumbest people alive. But I do understand. I used to be addicted to diet soda. It does not make you thin. It does not make you. It does not support a healthy because it convinces your body you're getting sugar. So it makes you want sugar more and you're going to overeat eventually. That's what it does. And there's literally all the science behind it to prove it. No one's skinny because they drink a ton of Coke. However,
Diet Coke. Yeah. Yeah.
If you are Diet Coke, sorry. If you're drinking sugary syrupy Cokes, good on you. Treat yourself like a dessert. But if you're drinking them every day And listen, I have my things. I drink 2 lattes a day. I'm doing almond milk, so it's not like, and I don't do like, it's not as much sugar, and I do stevia, which is a natural substitute that will be proven to give you cancer when, you know, in 20 years when they come out with the studies. But right now I'm in the dark. But you got to cut soda out. That's the funniest thing is when someone goes, I just stopped drinking Pepsi and I lost, you know, 200 pounds. It like falls off. If you're someone who drinks sugary sodas and you stop, wait till you see what happens. It's just crazy to me that people want to consume their calories in that way. But I do understand having a delightful little, those little bottles of Coke.
God, a fountain soda is so good though. God damn. Like on a
have
road
it,
trip.
Have it for a treat.
Yes.
There's, you just don't need to have it every day. It's like a dessert. Yes. You wouldn't have a creme brulee every day, you know? You just but don't say never unless it's something that you know, for me, I say never to those things because they open up a part of my brain that goes, girl, get more. It's never gonna be enough. Have more. And so I can't have it. It's like, you know, an alcohol
sure.
with
yeah.
alcohol. But if you can allow yourself to have one Coke a week, come on, live a little. Let's get to so sports moment. Isn't Cristiano Ronaldo, by the way, didn't he? He's not the one that got accused of rape.
Yeah, he did. But yes, he did.
In Las Vegas with a girl that they had a photograph of him hitting on her. And then she described a pretty brutal encounter. Yet we're still he's still famous.
Yeah, I don't
just
know.
Just checking.
I
all mean, right.
Yeah, that's
I listen, again, the cancel culture thing. He has a right to play soccer, but I have a right as someone who knows what he did to like never want to hear his name on my podcast again.
Yeah,
because
I forgot,
like, why are we entertaining this person that is not? Has he been cleared of the rape charges?
Yes, he was. But
oh, okay,
he was
well then that's fine.
I mean, he's in the jail and he didn't. Yeah,
was he tried?
I don't know the exact know details, but he
just,
obviously wasn't.
It's just so funny to me that we just forget, like the Armie Hammer thing I mentioned before.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about Armie Hammer being a cannibal and laughs about it, but no one knows the real story, which is that he raped his girlfriend. It's like, how do these things not get out? How am I the only? And I only saw that because I was
you
Googling.
Are, the more famous you are, the more it gets swept under a rug. I mean, it just happens. Like no one, there's enough people that don't care.
The morning show, that was a great moment on the morning show that I overheard while I was packing and you kept watching it. And I got a little spoiler alert, but someone was like, that's how it works. We all know Jennifer Aniston's telling researchers, and do you think that if I put my foot down, anything's going to change? She's like, that's the way it works. Is that we know these disgusting men do these things. We can't accuse, we can't say everything that we see. If we did, we wouldn't get anything. I forgot what her speech was, but she was like, it's the way the world works. Like, and there is a part of that of like, it's just the way it feels so insurmountable. The only reason Harvey Weinstein got brought down was why? Because the New York Times decided to do a piece on it. Like, or Cosby, everyone knew he was a rapist. Like people knew that. But
and it was all at
Hannibal
the end of
Burris?
Their career. Like, Ronaldo might get taken down when he's 80 and he can't dribble anymore.
And he isn't hot. Okay, let's get to listener mail. This has been a...
Yeah.
The only thing he could do is dribble. Yeah, and you know it's going to be water because that guy does not like...
yeah, he does not like Coca-Cola. He's a good man.
All right, let's get to listener mail. Love this Seggy. Okay, so this is all, this is when we hear from you guys. We like to hear from you all the time about anything, but these are the specific ones that you sent in via our DMs on Nikki Glaser Pod or, you know, the Nikki Glaser Podcast at gmail.com or a voice memo. I met a fan of mine last night who, my friend at the show, he goes, he's running the show. He goes, do you mind if my friend takes a picture with you or like meet you? She's a big fan. And I go, yeah, of course, it's fine. She comes out. This girl is shaking, crying. She's my age too. I'm sorry to insult her if you're listening, Lisa. Are you my age? You looked like in your 30s. She had like blue pink hair, so cool looking. A cute little, like she's a suicide girl. Like she does like kind of like dress up, but she's like more like a My Little Pony suicide, like pinks and like, I don't know. Like I picture suicide girls like gothy, but I looked into her. She's a very cool girl. She's like has only fans and stuff. Her name is Liza Doll, L-I-Z-A Doll, D-O-L-L, if you want to look at her up and support her. She was the sweetest thing. She's shaking. She's crying. She goes, I don't even know. Like you mean so much to me. And you guys, she later DM'd me. She was like, thank you for the picture. And thank you for, and I was like, honey, she made me more nervous. She made me feel like, I completely understand how you feel right now. because this was what I would do if I met Taylor Swift. And I cannot believe that someone is having the same reaction or feels the same way about me that I feel about Taylor Swift. Like, I felt like Taylor Swift in that moment. And I've seen Taylor Swift deal with fans that are reacting that way and how she like hugs them and brings them in and becomes friends with them. And like, they still, it doesn't, and I handled that situation the way I know Taylor Swift does. So I look forward to more of those because they made me feel like Taylor Swift and I understand being that big of a fan. So it was the moment of like, oh my God, don't feel bad that you're crying or shaking. Like, I get it. And I don't think I deserve this from you, but I'm going to accept it. And she was so sweet. So if these aren't DMs from our fans telling them how much they love me, I'm skipping this segment. On the heels of Lisa Doll.
Lisa Doll.
Okay, let's get to the DM. I'm sorry, Noah. I just had to tell that shout out. This one is from Lexi. Oh, another L name. Hey, Nikki, I am such a big fan. I definitely cried. Oh my God. Whoa. Noah, what the fuck? I definitely cried when You Up was finished and I wasn't sure what was coming next. I work from home, so you and Andrew have been like my friends that I get to spend my day with. I want to say thank you for normalizing so many things for me. Just today, I was feeling very sad because it is so difficult to get up in the mornings. And within 2 minutes of your podcast, you said the exact same thing. And I felt so seen. So thank you. Your bestie, Lexi. Oh, Lexi, thank you so much. And girl, right? Like, I help my, I don't want to, I never think I'm like a hero. I don't want anyone to think that I am. But it really feels good to me when I hear people have changed their points of view about little annoyances in life or like feeling depressed. Last night I was on stage and I was talking about being wildly depressed last year and wanting to shave my head and how Joe Rogan was the only one that reached out to me about it, about my cry for help on Twitter about shaving my head, even though it was a joke. And it was really, it's working into a funny thing, but I said to the audience, I go, is anyone else suffer massive depression last year at some point? And everyone claps. And I was like, and you got through it. Good job. And I literally sincerely was like, and if you're going through it now, I'm really sorry. And I like know that feeling. It felt so good to say that and not to have a punchline, just but to make people feel seen. Like, I'm sorry if you're out there and you're having a hard day. I'm fucking sorry because I know how it feels and it sucks. It feels so good to feel seen. So I'm glad I made someone feel that way. And I truly, the other day when I got out of bed and felt sad, I thought of my besties and how they are able to snap out of it sometimes when they hear me talk about it. So I was like, remember the advice you give to your besties and heed that yourself and do something kind for yourself. And then it snapped me out of it. Let's get to the next one. Any thoughts, Andrew? Sorry to.
No. I think that's all great. I think, you know, Joe Rogan has a bald head. So he was like, yeah, Nikki doesn't want this.
Oh, no. He was like, don't you dare step on mine.
Don't step in my lane. You dare start working out and doing curls.
Let's get to a voice message from Chris.
Hey, guys. Got to be honest. I kind of like No Drew Nick better than No Drew Key. I think it kind of sounds like a good name. No Drew Nick.
No Drew Nick.
That's all.
No Drew Key is the name that someone gave us for Noah, Nikki, Noah, Andrew, Nikki. No Drew Key and No Drew Nick. Sorry, Chris. I like No Drew Key.
Yeah. I mean, you could do No and Nick or Nick. Nick, no Drew.
Yeah.
If we were going to do first parts, you know what I mean? Like,
cause I'm glad taking the last spot.
Okay.
On there. But I, you know, I did Nikki and Sarah Live. That was a weird debate when we were naming that show, me and Sarah Schaefer. It was like, should it be Sarah and Nikki or Nikki and Sarah? Bottom line is Nikki and Sarah just sounds flows better.
Yeah.
And we almost named this the Andrew Collin podcast, but it just, no one wanted it. And
three people. My mom.
If we were doing Andrew and Nikki, if me, you and I had a show, the Nikki and Andrew show, the Andrew and Nikki show, I would have to say Andrew and Nikki sounds better than Nikki and Andrew.
I would do Nikki and Andrew all day long.
Given our kind of like vibe.
Like,
in a vacuum. Andrew and Nikki. No, Nikki and Andrew.
I think Nikki and Andrew. Decide. Nikki flows better. Andrew is more at the end. It's like it almost stops the sentence. Like Andrew. Andrew. Nikki. Like Nikki, Nikki. Yeah. Andrew.
Yeah. It's a porn star's name. Nikki Glaser is the, if I do porn, my name's gonna have to be like Agatha Reynolds. It'll have to go the other way. My name is so Glaser. Nikki's already
so many fans named Nikki. And I think probably like 10% is just because I'm Nikki, she's Nikki. Like Nikki, like it's just like
such you want to hear the interaction of me and Nikki's. Okay, come up and meet me at a meet and greet and say your name. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Nikki.
How do you? Oh yes. How do you spell it?
With a Y.
Oh, I love that. You know what? I it's different than mine because I do N-I-K-K-I. Obviously, you probably know that. But yeah, N-I, is it N-I-C-K-Y or N-I-K-K-Y? Because...
Oh, it's with a K. Two Ks, like you.
N-I-K-K-Y? I've never heard that. I love that. Bring it in. Let's get this picture and get you moving. Just kidding.
Oh my Honestly, God, we're the same.
I love every Nikki, but I do love when they're spelled the same as me. But I like learning new spellings. However, I just want to say blank. I need to say this. People keep coming up to me and saying, I know you hate pictures. I don't know when I put that out there. I do not hate pictures with fans. I love them. This guy came up yesterday. He goes, are you sure? I listen to your podcast. Are you sure you hate you? Are you sure? I know you're not. You won't lie. And I go, I promise you I want to take this picture. And he goes, I really. And I go, you know what I don't like? I'll be honest with you. Is this. Well, I just trust me. Let's take the picture. And he goes, I won't tag you. And I go, no, tag me.
Just keep your hand off my ass. That's all I want.
Have your phone ready to go. But also, I don't really care. This is for more bigger celebrities. Keep your phone. Have your phone in your purse. Get it out. Take a picture. And then post that shit. Tag me in it, because that's really the hurtful thing is when people take a picture and then it ends up in their phone, Noah, that they don't back up. And it's just on a phone in a fucking bin underneath your bed. Like, do something with the picture so I can repost it if I look good. All right. Let's hear from Sir Coke. Oh, here we go. Coke. Sir Coke on Instagram. He says, Andrew's dog made my dog bark. Whoa. Please don't do it again. Oh, no, it's too loud. Hold on. I have to brace. Everyone brace yourself. It's so loud. Okay. We need to put that dog down. I'm taking that into the
pound. He's a little angry.
And I'm saying, don't even try to get it adopted. We need to end this thing's life.
Take him to the bastards.
No, that is a good dog. I love that. Thank you, Sir Coke. Okay, let's get to a voice message from Donnie, D-A-N-I.
Ooh.
Hi, Nikki and Andrew and Noah.
This voice.
Love the pod. I'm a day one listener, of course.
Thanks, Dan.
I just wanted to say I've been playing guitar for about 8 years now. And listening to Nikki's rants the past few days has inspired me to write the lyrics to my very first song.
Oh, my God.
So I don't have a melody yet, but I've got some lyrics down. This is the farthest I've ever gotten. And I just wanted to say it was a lot easier than I thought it would be.
Yes.
I think it came out that bad. So thank you, Nikki, for the inspiration. And
Nothing about that was cut. You've been playing guitar 8 years. I'm so jealous. You're probably so good. I'm so glad that you took the chance to, like, because you can write a song. Everyone can write a song. That's what I thought was, like, it's only for special people. But you also can write a song. Anyone can. And that's so cool. I want to hear your song, Danny. Will you send it to me when you're done and on Instagram or through the email? We won't play it on the show, but I would like to hear it. I mean, we will if you want us to or if it's good enough. But I'll send you my song if you send me yours, and you can't share mine with anyone. But I haven't even.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know this was going to. I really didn't know this was going to happen. I really didn't.
I'm serious. The universe. I believe in God, and I believe that God, that things happen cosmically. But what just happened is insane. So, cosmically? Guys, honestly, our listeners now know that this show, like, is put together. This is how it goes. Noah reads over news stories and then compiles a list. She sends those to Andrew. Andrew then selects 2 to 3 stories from that list, including a celebrity one for Why Do You Care? And it's all random. I don't know. Usually, originally, I was like, let me pick the news stories. I think it's more fun for me to not, and it's less work. And all the segments that have voice messages, I do not vet these before because I didn't know this either. And also because it's more fun. And then we just get into random topics. I cannot believe this. So here's a voice memo.
Yeah, just
from
play.
This is how she labeled it, by the way. She labeled it from, because you get to say who you are when you do this voice, you get to type it in. She wrote, another Nikki, N-I-K-K-I. Seriously, my name is Nicole. I mean, I can't. I'm like, I didn't know it either. I don't think you did. You don't lie. Okay, let's get into this. Nikki, what do you
You're
have to say?
Love this.
I can't. I'm
going to love it.
Hi, Nikki and Andrew and Noah. So I'm 23. I just started masturbating and I'm just kind of looking for any tips. I'm really not getting anything out of it. I feel like I can really only get off my partner. So, yeah, if there's any tips for that. And then also, I started trying out anal with a vibrator. And does it just feel good because it feels like you're shitting? Or is, like, what's going on back there? I don't know. Let me know.
Oh, Nikki, I love you. Congratulations on being 23.
She sounds like the girl from American Pie. One time at band camp, I put an anal bead in my asshole.
I love people she's so pure that she just started masturbating at 23, like, which is a late start, we can all agree, but that's around the time when I first started touching myself too for pleasure and didn't know what the fuck I was doing and struggled with it for so long, so I relate so much. But at the same time, she's also like, And then she just jumps into the anal thing. There's like the innocence of not masturbating, but then like she's also trying anal. I love you so much, Nikki. It sounded like I was listening to myself, to be honest. Tips for masturbation. I would get the right toys. Think about during penetration if you like clitoral stimulation or inside stuff. If so, like based on that, I would have a clit sucking device that has no extra attachments that can just latch onto your clit that you hold at the top. And then I would have a thrusting like dildo. The Shameless Flirt is the one that I recommend. It's called the Shameless Flirt. It's green. And I would have that. So you have penetration plus the suction of a little suction thing. There's tons of those little sucking things. It's like the Satisfier is one, the Womanizer, but everyone has them now. And I would, start, and then also get a magic wand. Start with the wand, watch porn, think about things that make you horny, and then slowly like tease yourself, like actually try to like tempt yourself and try not to come. How about that? Try an exercise where you do everything you can not to come.
Oh, what if she does come though, Nikki? What are you going to do to her?
Oh, well, you don't even wanna know what I could. I got a lot of tricks up my sleeve. What you better? I'm gonna go take a shower. I'll be back. 20 minutes.
What about using it with a partner too? Like maybe break out a little vibrator, so then it's like connected with that partner. Maybe you might.
Yeah, I think try to masturbate in front of your partner. I'm not a sex expert either. I would actually send you to sexwithemily.com. Has tons of just advice on every different thing you could ask for. And she actually has the way she talks about, like, you know, just being aware of your body and like focusing on your vagina and focusing on your body and like feeling it, like, can really help facilitate pleasure that you can't tap into otherwise. Noah, what were you going to say?
So I had a friend, and I feel like it's very important to say this because she brought up putting a vibrator near her butthole. I had a friend who's an x-ray technician, and so many people came in because they had stuff sucked up their butts. And it's very important.
And they couldn't get it
out. If you're going to use a dildo in your butt, make sure it has the stopper.
Yes.
Because otherwise, it's going right up in there.
That's the thing about an asshole. Thank you, Noah. Your asshole's very tight and it will,
like, vacuum
once things
it
go
up.
In,
yeah.
It won't. It's not like a vagina. It can't, like, it's not going to be as easy to push it out. So definitely get anal, like, tools. And Nikki, you're
like
absolutely
a finger
right.
Cuff kind of thing.
In my special, The Half Hour on Netflix, if you want to hear me talk about anal, I have a lot to say about it. But I do say on that special that you will like anal if you like shitting. And that's true. If you take shit sometimes and they feel so orgasmic, which is the way it feels for me sometimes, I would say one in every 100 shits, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I would like to just shit forever if it always felt that way. It just feels like an orgasm. That is the way it feels to, yes, you think you're shitting the whole time that you have anything in your asshole because your asshole's not used to having things up there. So it just thinks it's poop. So when you pull out, when you like are inserting a thing in your butt and pulling it in and out, it's going to feel like poop going in and out. And you're going to think that you're just shitting everywhere, which you might be. So do, you know, but, you could be if you don't clean yourself out first. But yes, it does feel like you're shitting, and if that's not pleasurable for you, maybe it's not for you, but I would still keep trying and see if it works, because I think shitting can be really pleasurable to like try to, and I think that's, there's something going on there. It feels so good. Do you ever feel that way, Andrew, when you shit?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know that, like, feeling?
Yeah. There's certain shits that are like,
there's like,
whoa,
almost like an orgasmic, like, feel to it.
Yeah, yeah. And then you look in the bowl and it's just like a dick.
I mean, we've all had poops before where it's like, I could give birth out of my, like,
yes.
You know, where,
oh,
you're like,
God. Yeah.
People go, oh my God, the how rounder? Could you have a dick up there? Then your butt will never go back to normal. Shut up. When I talk about anal, and anyone that thinks that I have a baggy asshole because I've done anal, you know, probably 70 times in my life, you're so stupid, because your shits are so much bigger than dicks sometimes. They are.
Shits are bigger than dicks should be a shirt for sure. Shits
no,
are bigger
who's
than
gonna
dicks.
Wear that? But you sometimes look in the toilet and you go, that's a straight up dick. You know? It's so gross. Sorry, everyone. We're ending the week on a weird note. Final thought, Andrew. You going to visit your family?
Yeah, I'm excited. Speaking of shit, yeah. I'm going to go see my nephews. So I'm excited. And
you haven't seen them in a while. How old are they?
Seven, like six, four, and 1.5. I'm probably wrong. And then Teddy is 9 months, the other one. So four. I have four nephews.
Oh, so
I'm
it's, excited. All, it's all your family together.
Yeah, my dad's driving up. He bought a new Sprinter van, which is like that Mercedes van that has like a bed
in it. Yeah,
it's
the thing that almost killed Tracy Morgan. Yeah. They
oh, really?
Sprinter. Yeah, in that accident. That's why it was so fucked up. They were all just like, you know, out of their seats. Like, just like,
oh,
you know,
well,
I think.
Well, this van
I don't
is
know.
Dope. So oh, my God, dad's my dad is afraid of flying, but he won't admit it. He'll go, you know, I'm just older now. I don't need to fly.
Oh, I like
afraid.
The scenery on the trip from Florida to fucking Connecticut. He's driving seriously like 48 hours.
Well, it's 24 hours, but yeah. Or
oh,
20
my
hours.
God.
But he won't admit that he's afraid. Like, it's so funny because my grandma was deathly afraid. My
what
little
is
brother,
he scared of flying for?
I remember my little brother's story about when he was afraid of flying and the pilot came back and my brother was crying and the pilot's like, we'll get you there safe. And he looks up and he goes, who's flying the plane?
Oh, my God. That's so funny. But so wait, it was in the family. Air and the pilot like.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was a co-pilot situation, but that is really funny. It makes me so mad when people are scared of flying. It's like, it's,
I know,
I get
it's
it
irrational.
Because I used to be scared of flying, but these old people that go their whole lives fearful of this thing. And then they always act like they like taking trains. These are all
maybe
the people,
because
like,
they flew in like this in the '70s, you know, when it was scarier and like people were smoking on the plane. I'm just saying like, maybe that's why, like maybe
it's not, it's an irrational fear. I mean, it really is. It's the chances of you die. They don't want to die that way. They don't want to take the chance that they might die that way. I get
they
that.
They want to die in their
it
own
It would be
hands.
A terrible way to die. But your dad is going to die someday, and it's not going to be fun. It's going to, it's every, I just like, people that are, you're just missing out on so much life by taking 24 hours to drive across the country.
Well,
in a
I think
Sprinter
he's
going to
look at it differently. I think he looks at it like, I get to see the country. I'm retired. Why am I in a hurry to get anywhere? I kind of like that
the
approach
things
in a way.
We convince ourselves when we're scared. That's all it comes
have
down
have you ever
to.
Seen the mountains of Virginia, Nikki, on a Sprinter van?
I mean, your dad could also see the mountains of Virginia as his plane flies into one, too. He would have a really cool view of it right before he goes.
That would be pretty
dope. The thing
dope.
Is with flying, I don't mean to make anyone feel bad about their phobia of flying, because it's a real thing, and like it's, I understand it's like truly crippling. But if you want to overcome your fear of flying, there's an Alan Carr book for that. And it's not going to make you take a plane ride to read it. You just read it and see what happens. See what happens. Be open to the idea that this thing that millions of people do every day, and the chances of you being in a plane crash, you would have to be flying for 800 years straight, never touching the ground, always in a plane for an incident to happen. And that does not mean a crash in which you die, because most crashes, people don't die. They're just like little collisions on the runway. Those, it would take 800 years for you to have an incident of flying nonstop. Those are the odds. Some people don't want to take those odds, I guess, but you're missing out on life, and fear is holding you back. But you know, I have a lot of fear of things too, so I relate. But your dad, come on, he is a smart enough man to. You got to give him shit for that. You got to get into admit he's scared flying. What does he say?
No, I did. He's just like, no, I'm not in a rush.
When has he been on a plane?
I mean, he was on a plane like last year. Yeah, and he's flown to Europe.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's flown.
Oh,
he does fly. He just hates it. But
got it. Yeah. Okay.
It's not crippling completely, but
yeah,
it could be if he crashed. But yeah, I do like the idea of looking at, you know, the plane tracker. And if your plane was going down and you just followed a tracker all the way to the ground.
I'm not kidding you. That's what happened on my plane 2 days ago when I woke up and we were about to land in Dallas. I was like, this plane has been hijacked. No one on the plane knows. I know. I'm about to watch the plane tracker plow into a silo in fucking
I hate when people leave a tracker up the whole flight, too. Because they don't pay attention to it. But all I can do is look at it and realize, like, oh, I have another fucking 5 hours.
Just I'm tracking this podcast, and we got to plow this thing into the deep blue sea.
But have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Noah. Thank you, besties. We will see you on Monday. Have a great, great weekend. And watch me on Bill Maher tomorrow night, Friday. And please consider getting tickets to my tour because it's shaping up and it's going to be so, so fun. NikkiGlaser.com/tour. And also, I'm going to be in Cancun November 3rd through the 7th on a special vacation destination comedy event in Cancun. You can find details on my Instagram. Thank you guys so much. Love you. See you Monday.
Love you.